Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
قاتل رازن اور لٹیرا سب شیطانوں کا شیطان کافر کافر شیعہ کافر سب شیطانوں کا شیطان
اللہ وبرکاتہ مفتی حسن علی سلیمان hope you well this morning.
وعلیکم السلام الحمدللہ a little sore throat but we're doing okay الحمدللہ how's everything in South Africa
الحمدللہ it's going well شکر الحمدللہ yeah everything is going there is problems with the police and all of these things and you just wonder what's really happening on the ground because there's always another narrative that we don't know of or something that is happening But anyways, yeah, alhamdulillah, we've got a lot of things to speak about. Mufti Saab, all well on your side?
Yes, especially listening to that nice music in the background. Well, not music, but the nice not about Shias. Very good, very good. uplift my spirits. almost got me dancing here. You almost got this 70-year-old man dancing. Okay, Shia Kafir, Shia Kafir. We love it over here.
But yeah, there's a mufti from Pakistan, and I don't know his name, but he is the one who sings this year. But yeah, we were hoping from you, maybe you know, you could just add a little bit of your side to it. Maybe you want to add some words.
No, well, to tell you the truth, my ustaz, Mufti Zahid Rahmatullah Alayh. He had a small problem with the group that's now called Al-Sunnah wa Jamaat. And they were against the Shia. The problem he did have was that they would go to your area, okay, and sing this explain how she is with Kafir and everything. And then they would leave, okay? And the Shias in that area would come the next day and beat up on the Sunnis. So you have to be careful when you do things like this because Al-Sunnah wa Jamaat, they have guns and know how to use it, okay? So during the time of the speech, everything is okay. There's no problem about violence. But once they leave, the normal Muslim, the awam that don't carry guns, they're at the mercy of the Shia. So that's one thing he did have against them. Not necessarily
against us, because we are the
thinking forward about how we approach the Shia problem. Oh, you need to think it out a little bit more and be a little more comprehensive.
Okay. So, yeah, you mean against us because we are the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, basically.
Yes, yes.
Himself, yes, because some listeners may feel or they may not misunderstand and say, but then how come you have Ustad that's not Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah? So just to clarify that Mufti Zarwali was part of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, but he's saying that he had this problem, which was a good vision of his to say that to deal, especially in Pakistan, because there it's just any excuse for the Shias and Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah to have a big fight. And I feel that just by making this where you say they are part of the Muslims, but you're just saying they are Shia, this is problematic. Not yourself, I'm just saying generally where people don't understand this. It's a matter of we Muslims and they are non-Muslims. And we were just speaking now just a few moments to the listeners, and this was about the Druze. And there's much speech now about in Syria, why are the Israelis attacking the other groups, but they are not attacking the Druze and in fact defending and protecting them. So, of course, they are also, they exist under the protection of Israel in the illegitimate state, and there were many promises that were given to them, and over time you can see that they tend to speak out on these issues, that they're not getting their citizenship that they promised, and basically they've turned against Islam. They have nothing to do with Islam. They believe in reincarnation, which already tells you so much. The fact that they are fighting with the IDF, this tells you a whole lot as well. And yesterday, it was in Suwayda, in Syria, these Druze members, and you'll see their names. That's what makes it so confusing. You'll see their names, Umar, this, that, Riyadh. And so they won, one of them, few of them, in fact, they took down the Syrian flag and they put up the Israeli flag. And these were all men of the Druze. So they are part and parcel. That is what we say. If you go back to their roots, if you see in the 11th, 12th century, it was the Ismaili sect. And from there, this particular group then came out called the Druze. They wear black clothing most of the time. They've got long beards, long mustaches also. And they, few of their beliefs, which we did share, is that they, in order to hide their beliefs. So if you go back 100 years, if you go back 70 years, we see the Shia. You didn't have much access to the information. So when we see our pious seniors, they couldn't really refute them because there wasn't much access to the information. And why they do this is so that they can grow gracefully to the point where they've got many members, and then they can now unleash their true plots and their true plans. So currently, if you ask them, where's your book? You ask these Druze, where's your book? Your beliefs, where is it? They won't share it with you. Even as a new member, you can't, in fact, revert to a Druze. You've got to be born in it. So you, as a husband Druze, female wife Druze, and that child Druze, now when they grow up, they can marry another child who's grown up to be a Druze also. So that's how they grow their circles. And maybe later, our maybe grandchildren's generations, you'll see books coming out on these people. But by then, they've already grown by a substantial amount. Like you're saying, in Pakistan, now the Shias, they just tend to fight, and also the Ahlu Sunnah in defense of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and it tends to get brutal at times. So, yes, with regards to this, we thought we'll just bring in the Druze as well. Anything you want to say, Muftisar?
The Druze, I believe they don't circumcise either. Is that correct? Do you know anything about that?
No, I haven't seen anything about that.
Okay, I think they don't circumcise also.
Hmm.
Okay, but yeah. That's another. I had a roommate who was from Turkey, and we would talk about all these different offshoots that's in Turkey that claim to be Muslim.
Hmm.
And I believe he mentioned that the Druze, they don't circumcise. That's how you can tell that they're not Muslim.
Hmm. Another disturbing fact that we must bring to the listeners, and then we'll go on to Mamdani, is that yesterday, if our listeners were not informed, we said it on many of the programs as well, our Masjid Khalilur Rahman, which is in Hebron, there what has happened is since 1994, it's been under the Oqaf, but now they've taken it out of the, you can say, responsibility of the Oqaf, and they've shifted it now onto a Jewish group and a Jewish organization, which is running it now. And we've, like, basically, you can say, we've lost a Masjid Khalilur Rahman, which has it has close relations with the Muslims, and it is a symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just being a masjid. But due to the fact that it's Masjid Khalilur Rahman, it holds greater importance as well. So it's been shifted now to the council, religious council of Kiryat Arba settlement. And this year is a major, major loss. We know previously they divided it into half-half, but now they've claimed full responsibility for it. And now, in fact, it wasn't even half. It divided access and allocating 63. This was in the last, if we go back to 1994. In that particular time, they allocated 63% to Jewish worshippers and 37% to the Muslimin. And then 1994 was that same year where Baruch Goldstein, he went in with his open-air rifle, and he opened fire upon all the musallis. In while they were in sujood, he killed 29 of them and injured over 150. So this was their cowards and how they perform their exercises when they feel the need to. Anyway, this was just Masjid Khalil Rahman. Let's move now to Mamdani.
Your guy.
You just told me.
Yeah, Shia, who supports the Rainbow Coalition. He's pledged to, if he's elected, he's going to allocate $65 million for health care for the gender affirming, whatever that means, to affirm your gender, to prove that you are the gender that you claim to be. He wants to make New York City a sanctuary, for these rainbow people. All right, anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, you can come. New York City will be a safe haven for you. You won't be attacked. People will not call you dirty names or anything like that. You can feel safe here. He's already voted for pro-LGBT legislation because he's in the state assembly. Okay, and he wants to be mayor now. But in the state assembly, he's already voted for little things like this already. He's participating in the New York City Pride Parade, the Gay Pride Parade in June. Okay, and he was seen waving transgender flags. Okay, so this is allegedly a Muslim. He's a Shia, so he's not a Muslim, but he's claiming to be Muslim. And there's 400,000 Sunni Muslim voters in New York City. I'm curious of what they're going to do about this. I've been searching to find out what your favorite American imam, Omar Suleiman. I'm trying to find out what he's all about with this. But he's in Texas. He hasn't said anything about Mamdani. But Yasser Qadri, he supports Mamdani and says that we need more Mamdanis. Okay? This alleged Sunni imam is saying we need more Mamdanis as candidates all over America. Mm. Okay? To change America. All right? So that's where he's coming from. CARE, the biggest Muslim group, okay, support group, they support him. They've given money for his campaign. And no one says anything about him being a Shia because CARE and Yusuf Qadri, they believe that Muslim Shia and Sunni are the same. Okay, so there's no talk from what I've read in any of the newspapers, you know, about any Shia Sunni conflict. Mm. Okay, he's just looked at as a Muslim. Mm. Okay, and a Muslim who's pro, you know, LGBT. Okay, so no one is condemning him for that. Everyone, they're condemning him for being a socialist, for being a progressive. And allegedly being a Muslim, but no one dares to attack him for this strong stand supporting the gays and lesbians. Mm. So now he's a 12er Shia, okay, a Wafis, and he. So Iran, the government of Iran, is also like that, but they don't support LGBT like he does, okay. In over there, relations between transgender people are haram, okay, in Iran. All right, you go to jail for that. They do allow some sex change, operations, but it's tightly watched. And if you're born a man, all right, and you want to change over to a girl, okay, you have to apply for a lot of stuff, and okay, once they give it to you, they monitor you to make sure that you live like a woman now. Mm. You can't just say, oh, I'm a woman, okay, and then start competing in different things, women's restroom and like that, that every now and then. No, you have to do it all the time.
Mm.
Okay, and they monitor that to make sure that your lifestyle is in accordance with your alleged gender change. So Mamdani is the opposite of what the real she is, you know, feel. And he's not being called in account for that. Okay, all the attacks that I've seen in the newspapers against him are against him being a so-called socialist, a communist, they call him a communist, and an immigrant. How can he run for mayor? He's only been here for a few years, you know, in America. And he wants to bring Sharia law, but he doesn't want to bring Sharia law because he doesn't follow the law of the Shia. So that's not even the case here. Mm. But I've been watching this, and I'll be keeping you updated, inshallah, on this guy. But he's very popular. He's very big. It looks like he probably will win. The Republicans are trying to bring some people to run against him, and they will be backed by billionaires giving that person a lot of money to run. But Mamdani is getting money from Muslim organizations and from the gay organizations, all right, to get in. So we'll see what happens. But again, my biggest thing is to see what the Sunni Muslims will do. 4 lakh Sunni Muslims in New York City, at least. Hmm. Well, voting. Voting Muslims are 400,000.
Hmm.
All right, let's see what they do.
Yes, and as you said, you mentioned names like Yasir Qadhi, who's in support of him, and you're waiting to see what you've accused us of saying our best friend, which we highly, highly refute and reject. And we'll say why also is because when you have relations, even if it's in the slightest, but with these LGBTQ groups, and you go in and you stand next to them in support and screaming in one voice and doing certain rituals, which we all know Umar Suleiman, what he has been up to. He claims to have apologized for that and the rest. But we say with apology, you must come out straight and tell us that, you know what, you can only be straight in life. You can't be crooked, and you have to highly criticize the LGBTQ group. Then we can believe you and we can move forward. So these are the right word for them, Yasir Qadhi, Umar Suleiman. It is one word, and they are apologists. When it comes to all of this, you can't say that, no, they are pro-LGBTQ, because when you say this, then they say they'll use some other words. But definitely you can say that they are apologists. We've seen his statements and what is released. We've got all the information here where he said it was not so long ago there was that letter that was released and it was typed out. And I'll quote it here. He said, on this note, we emphasize that there is a difference between same-sex attractions and same-sex behaviors. While the behaviors are sinful and immoral in the eyes of Allah, the attractions in and of themselves are not, to the extent that they go beyond our control. In fact, our struggle against these attractions or feelings can be a source of goodness or good deeds for us on our journey towards Allah. Now, that's a problematic statement because it's not natural. You speak about male attracted to woman. That's what Quran Sharif says. Allah has made them attractive, beautified them for you. Now the test, the imtihan is there. You have to now restrain yourself. But as for this male-to-male interaction, this is totally incorrect to say, and I could use other more brutal words, but we'll stick to behaving ourselves. This where you say it's just it's something that is natural. You give these kind of sentiments beyond our control. Since when is it beyond a person's control? This is due to your own self inclined with the wrong people that you've attached yourself to these inclinations, because it's never natural for a male to feel for another male. So he says, if you struggle against this, there's a lot of rewards for you. But that's not the correct thing to say. the thing to say is this is unnatural and no believer is supposed to do this. And yes, if now a believer, he got involved in this and he truly wants to come out of it, then now for him to fight it, that's a struggle, and Allah can reward him if he wants. But to say it's natural from the beginning, that's problematic. So these
Yasir, that's problematic. That's a lie.
Yes. So these Yasir Qadhi, these Umar Suleimans and all of them, they're never going to speak on Mamdani's LGBTQ stance and all of this here. In fact, even if you take, Mufti Meng doesn't really much feature here, but he issued a statement in 2011 just to get our listeners activated towards how these people become apologists over time. In 2011, he made the statement, with all due respect to the animals, they are worse than those animals. Now, that was a correct statement to make. And that's what Quran Sharif says. Ulaika kal an'am balhum adal. They are even more deviated than animals. So that was a correct statement to make. But then later he came out and he said that the real test of a man's integrity is how he reacts when he's been proven wrong. Blessed is he who's able to admit his mistake graciously. So he changed his statement, and his statement then came towards inclining and having this apologetic approach. Similarly, like how we take Mufti Zarwali's statement, right? We respected everything. But now Muslims, if you speak in South Africa, they were good organizations refuting the Shias. Now when you speak to them, they say, no, we've got to change our stance because it's becoming too bloody. There's too much of wars going on and between the Shia and Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah. So we've got to change our stance and lower our shoulders of mercy. That is now also another area which needs to be addressed. So yes, you shouldn't now go and incite people, but at the same time, you should refute them. So that's where...
Yes. Yeah. And that's something that Ustaz Rahmatullah Alayhi, he always refuted. Only the way that one particular group was antagonizing the Shias, right, because it left the Awam unprotected.
Hmm.
Okay, that was the only point. Hmm. Right, he didn't say that they were wrong with what they said, but they were wrong with the way they behaved. Hmm. Right, you came in, you yelled, you know, all these slogans and everything, and then you left. All right, and so the Shias just waited for you to leave, and then they came up and they beat up on the Awam.
Mm.
All right, so if you're going to do something like that, you have to stay there. You have to keep beat people there who are armed for a time until things cool down, and then you can leave them.
Yes.
And while you're there, you can train the people, you know, to protect themselves against the Shia.
Mm.
That was his only point. But he would always, you know, Shia conference.
Yeah, he was hopeful. In fact, I've got a few clips of his, and we'll share it also. I love it. Well, one thing that straightforwardness, you know, you get, it's very rare.
Oh, yeah. I told you before when I read the Fatwa of Darlum about Shia, and it's so many pages, and... By reading it, after you read it, you don't know whether they're kafir or not.
Yes.
Okay.
You still confused.
But Mufti Zarwali, we asked him, when we went Dora Hadith, we asked him, was she a kafir?
Mm.
And he put his cup of chai down, he pulled on his beard, he cleared his throat, and said, Bilkul kafir.
Style kesa.
No problem. So there's no confusion or anything like that. Allah says, speak a word of truth straight to the point.
Mm.
All right. And he always spoke straight to the point.
Yeah.
I'm a bilkul.
But I like how you said he put down his cup and all of this. Yeah. So our one ustad in madrasa, Mulana Abdullah Devla Hafidhahullah, he would always, like, you know, have a go with us with our English language. And I now realize how truthful was his statements. You would say that your English language is so terrible and horrible because which language starts off with a sakin? So then you start thinking, but does our English do start? Does it really start with a sakin, with a sukun? So he says school, take school. It starts with a sakin, school, school. So that is why you find, I'm sure you see it in Pakistan and India and a few other areas, they put an I next to it. School.
Right.
So now it's
school, yeah.
They say it's terrible. So we'll make our own English if you want. But we're not going to bow down to your English. So yeah, where you mentioned this here, that's why we say style is another word which starts with a sakin. So Mufti Zarwali, he did that style kesat. You know, like with style.
Style. MashaAllah.
So I just want to end off with this here, Mufti Saab, because I forgot to mention the main portion of Mufti Meng's statement. On that issue, so we mentioned his previous statement, and that was of how he said that they were like animals. They're worse than animals, in fact. Then he released a statement saying, on the issue of LGBT, let me clarify that statement which I made back in 2011, which had me saying, and with all due respect to the animals, they are worse than those animals, was based, here's the key aspect, was based on a misguided notion. I no longer believe that to be true. I make a full retraction of that statement. And then it's got the Mufti Meng. So this is what we mean by being apologetic. And what is it really when we see with Mamdani, as you've mentioned, it's just to gain numbers, basically. You want to get numbers, but how many beliefs of yours do you have to give up just so that you can get your numbers? By then, you're left with no Islam.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's, he's following in the footsteps of Obama. Mm-hmm. Okay? Obama, his father was Muslim. His grandfather was Muazzin. His grandmother made Hajj while Obama was in office. Okay, his mother divorced his father and married a Indonesian Muslim man. And while they were living in Indonesia, Obama was in madrasa. Was in madrasa. Okay. Then later he goes to Hawaii and then goes to I think it was Harvard University, and where allegedly he found Christ. Okay. When he ran for president, his sister from the same mother but the different father, okay, she came to support him at the rally to run for president, and she came in veil, gloves, everything, all right. But when he was asked about his religion, he said he was Christian, okay, and he was not Muslim. All right, but his whole family was Muslim, okay, except for his mother. All right, his whole family was Muslim, all right, but he could never become president by saying he was Muslim. Barack Hussein Obama, okay, was his name. So he gave up a lot of things, all right, and lied and became the president. And this person a little bit different though, Mamdani, because he's a Shia. Okay, so Shias are not Muslim to begin with, he's even giving up the things in the Shia religion, all right, in order for him to become elected into the mayor of New York. So that tells you about politics.
Yes,
very dirty business. Hakim Umar Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said, no, we should not go into politics. And he said it was a dirty business. You go into that, your iman will be affected. You'll get dirty. Okay. And when your iman gets dirty, it's difficult to clean that. If your clothes get dirty, okay, you can take it to the dhobi and get it clean. But when your iman gets dirty, like Mufti Manik and like this, then it becomes very, that becomes problematic. becomes problematic.
Mufti Saab, we've come to the end of our program. Inshallah, on Monday we'll meet you, inshallah, and
inshallah, the week.
Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair.
Wa alaikum assalam wa yakum.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.